It's time for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. We're joined every week by Thorin Christendotter. We take a look at some of the stories you'll find in the current edition of Main Street Magazine, available at locations throughout the tri-state region for free, and also their companion website, mainstreetmag.com. Good morning, Thorin. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I was speaking earlier this morning with a Nordic group called Dreamers Circus. Have you ever heard of them?
I have not. Where are they based out of?
They're based out of Denmark, but they're a folk group. Someone who manages them or knows them is from this area, and they're coming to our country this month into October. And I had the greatest interview with them, and I gave them a I played agent. I gave them a name of a couple of venues that they could play around here, because they're more of a fusion folk group, where they used amplified instruments, and they go from slow tempo to fast tempo. I was just wondering if you had happened to hear of them. They had been around since the late 90s in one form or another, but obviously not, so we'll move on.
No, unfortunately not, but I'll check it out.
All right. Speaking about checking it out, Main Street Magazine. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to get there or not, but something we talked about a little bit, but not enough probably. The Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival was held last, about a weekend or two ago?
Yeah, it sure was, and I was going to go, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, but I had some friends go and had a fantastic time.
Yeah,
and in our current issue, Dominique wrote up about actually a 3-page piece talking about how to survive and enjoy the Hudson Valley Wine and Food Festival, and she gave some pointed tips about how not to have to carry all your wine around and do some work before you go.
Whenever I see a wine festival or anything like that, I think back to my days when I was a disc jockey in Kingston, New York at WKNY, and a bunch of us went out to New Paltz for a wine festival in New Paltz. And we actually made the New York Times the following Monday, because the Camaro we were riding in managed to drive through the New Paltz exit sign because we had a little too much at the wine festival.
Oh,
well, it was back in the 70s, where they didn't just give you little sips of things.
Right.
It's like in the 70s, if you took a beer, if you went to St. Louis and you went to the Anheuser-Busch, I mean, you had glasses of beer.
Right.
I mean, it's not, now everything is very tightly controlled. But so whenever I see a story about a wine festival, I think about that. The picture of four sad-looking people standing around a sign knocked down with some cop cars and ambulances in the New York Times. I have no idea why it made the New York Times, but maybe because it was New Paltz and it was trendy and cheeky.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Interesting story, because I've done a couple of interviews over the past couple of weeks, and we've come around in those interviews to talking about banned books.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a great story. I hate to say great story, but it is a great story about the fight against censorship. And like I said to these different librarians that I spoke to, I thought we fought this fight back in the 60s and 70s. But
yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, but here it is. It's back again.
It is, and Lindsay dove into this piece and actually brought it to my attention. I was like, are you serious? And I said the same thing. I thought that this was when I was much younger, before I was even born, let alone when she was born, an issue. But she's like, no, this is a huge thing. And she actually had to update her article even after she had handed it in to me, because there was a new, case out of Texas about banned books incident down there. But she references a couple, you know, nationwide, and, you know, what the situation is. And she mentioned some books. She talked to a couple of local librarians as well and educators and kind of dove into the subject, I guess to explain the context of it and then bring it to what the fight is today.
You know, what the interesting thing is, I have no problem with people who don't like particular books, who don't like the subject, who don't like the topic matter, and they will ban them from their house, or they'll tell their children they don't want them to read it, and maybe voice opinions that to libraries and stuff. If my child or son comes in, I have no problem with that. That's but when you start taking your rules and applying them on everybody else when it comes to any type of media, whether it's books, whether it's art, whether it's radio, whether it's magazines, that crosses a line. And I don't know why we're heading back to that sorry place we were once in.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I hope that I've noticed a lot of authors that I follow on social media have actually been posting the last couple of days about banned books as well. So they're raising awareness about it, and I hope articles like this of Lindsay's, you know, help raise it further awareness and educate people about it.
All right, we're talking, of course, with Thorin Christian Dotter, Main Street Magazine, and their companion website, MainStreetMag.com. Three explorers following their dreams, mapping their future.
Yeah, Regina. Well, she and I were discussing articles, and she said she wanted to interview this one author who just came out with a book, who has traveled all over the world. And I said, "Oh, that's super interesting." And she talks to her, or she talked about the book, "The Catch Me If You Can: One Woman's Journey to Every Country in the World," and that led Regina to say, "Hey, you know, I can incorporate that into, you know, some friends and acquaintances I have who've kind of lived this philosophy and you know, map their own destiny type of thing." And so she weaves in, you know, world travelers and, you know, people forging their own path and in search of happiness and fulfillment for their own lives, and mentions a few of her friends and, you know, kind of the things that they've done that are unique.
You got a great picture there of a person jumping and Mount Everest. I mean, it's a spectacular picture. It's a spectacular picture.
Yeah, he's one of Regina's friends, actually, and was kind enough to let us, you know, use some of his pictures from, you know, that's one that's definitely you don't see every day.
No, it takes in the beauty and also the allure of these mountains, and especially of Mount Everest, the most famous of all mountains probably in the world. We're going to move on. A story about dahlias. I'm not a.
Yes.
All I can say is my mums were delivered yesterday. Uh-huh. They opened up this morning after the rainfall. Uh-huh. My red plants that I had before the mums, I don't know what they were. They're still alive. So I don't understand plants. I know I appreciate them, though, and the color and spice they add to life.
I'm with you there. I know so little about plants. I am not allowed to touch any because I have black thumbs. So I appreciate people like Palm and who garden, who understand, who appreciate and can make it happen. And that includes, you know, her talking about dahlias and which I think are beautiful flowers. And I didn't realize that there were so many varieties of them. But Palm talks us through a bit of them and, you know, how to and what's the best thing for dahlias and planning out your garden.
Yeah, I wish I knew more, but you know, we've got Margaret Roach on the air here, and I'm sorry, it's like when I used to sit in algebra class, it goes in one ear and out the other. I mean, I know what the numbers are, just like I love to look at flowers, but it ends there. And like, yeah, if you told me there were many different, I thought dahlias were dahlias, like oranges were oranges. But
right.
But it's not that way in the plant world. Not that way at all.
Uh-uh.
All right. Interesting story on STEM education. The headline is Encouraging the Passage from STEM Education to STEM Careers.
Yeah. Catherine Burke has worked with the New York State Bridge Authority, which is the five bridges essentially in the Hudson Valley. So it should be the Hudson Valley Bridge Authority, if you ask some of the folks there. But she talks about STEM careers and what they are, and also STEAM careers, and how the Bridge Authority works with local organizations, local groups, and to educate about certain STEM careers and STEAM careers, and how you kind of connect the two. Because sometimes, you know, in education, I was guilty of this in school. You were so into the education part that you didn't see and correlate how it, you know, could apply to real life and a career. And that's just like you were talking about algebra, how do you use that in life? She talks about bridging that gap, no pun intended, and gives some examples of how they have done things there as well.
All right. Another article in Main Street Magazine that has an impressive picture that shows a mountain setting, a valley setting, the river valley setting, and that is nature on repeat. And the picture there is got so many different layers to it.
It certainly does. And Anna, who wrote this, shared a little another journey with us. She had penned an article earlier about her outdoorsmanship, and so here she talks about some local hikes and what it means to her, how she got into hiking locally from her rock climbing days, and transformation of life for her, and how nature weaves into that.
And pickleball, I don't understand it. I enjoy, funny enough, I enjoy watching it, but it has become a popular sport in this area, especially over the past 10 years.
It certainly has. I have, like you, little to no understanding of it, but Mary, who writes for me and does the podcast with me, she plays it and has told me quite a bit about it. And then John proposed this article, and I'm like, oh, sure, because he was saying that, as you said, it's quite popular around here, and there are a number of pickleball courts around everywhere. And so he shares a bit of that and speaks to some of the folks who were involved in pickleball, whether that be at a facility that has a court or teaches it, or some folks who play it.
You know, I think the person, and I might be wrong about this, but I think the person who brought pickleball to our area was Jack Mahoney, the former principal of Housatonic Valley Regional High School. I think he made that famous around here more than anybody else. But it's a sport that basically anybody can play.
Yeah, it sounds it.
All right. Well, what's coming up next month?
October is normally our quote-unquote history issue, so there's a bit of that in there. And the articles have been rolling in. I'm hoping to start laying stuff out today. Ashley's been working on ads avidly. We have a couple of spaces left if anyone wants to advertise. And otherwise, we hope to close that end of the week. And a little late this month, but, such is life. And we'll hopefully get it out, around the end of October, which is not that far off.
No, it's not at all. All right.
Crept up on us.
Once again, Main Street Magazine, available on the web, mainstreetmag.com, but also throughout the area for free pickup in the tri-state region. Always great to speak to you, Thorne. We'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Take care. Thorne Christian Dotter, Main Street Magazine, once again. You can also find them at mainstreetmag.com.